This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أم حسبت أن أصحاب الكهف والرقيم كانوا من آياتنا عجبا
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وربطنا على قلوبهم إذ قاموا فقالوا ربنا رب السماوات والأرض لن ندعو من دونه إلها لقد قلنا إذا شططا صدق الله العظيم. And that brings us to verse number 14 in this amazing chapter of Surah Al-Kahf. We concluded on the sentiment and on the note, من أتاني يمشي أتيته هرولا. You inch towards Allah and Allah will leap towards you. You take the step and then see how the Almighty helps you and aids you. And you know the incident. In the end, if death intervenes, you still will be given the good reward of your intention. So you got to make the move. You got to make the move. You will die at the location that Allah has decreed, my brother. I won't be able to die there at any different place. وَمَنْ كُتِبَتْ مَنِيَّتُهُ بِأَرْضٍ فَلَيْسَ يَمُوتُ فِي أَرْضٍ سِوَاهَا. But the choice remains yours, that the life you live and lead will dictate at that time where you were off to. Were you going to earn halal sustenance? Were you going to visit your mom? Were you going to aid someone? Were you going to the masjid? Or were you going towards haram to commit wrong? So the location will be the same. That spot where Malakul Maut has been assigned the task of removing your soul, that's going to happen. You're not going to be dying anywhere else. It will happen. But the choice is yours at that time, what you will be doing. And that will be pretty much in relation to what your daily activities are that will dictate the outcome. We hope, we wish, we pray, and we beseech Allah to grant us a noble ending. So now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in verse number 14 speaks about how Allah strengthened their bosom. And scholars of tafsir say this refers to the moment when they stood before the king. So bear in mind, we're following the sequence of the Quran, and the Quran does not adhere to the chronological sequence. The Quran does not adhere to the chronological sequence because the Quran is not a storybook. وَإِذْ قَتَلْتُمْ نَفْسًا فَادَّارَأْتُمْ فِيهَا وَاللَّهُ مُخْرِجٌ مَا كُنْتُمْ تَكْتُمُونَ. So if you understand the context of this here, it's a verse of the second chapter in the first juz of the Quran, Surah Baqarah. Allah speaks about the murderer that had occurred in the previous time in Bani Israel. So Allah first gives the entire detail of the incident. وَإِذْ قَالَ مُوسَى لِقَوْمِهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُكُمْ أَن تَذْبَحُوا بَقَرًا. And after wrapping up the detail, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives an overlook or an introduction to it post the discussion. So the Quran is not governed by chronological sequence because it's not a storybook. It's a book of guidance. It's a book of guidance. And in the scope of guidance, it shares the tales and the stories of others. But it doesn't follow the format of a storybook because it's a book of ibrah. لَقَدَ كَانَ فِي قَصَصِهِمْ عِبْرَةٌ لَقَدَ كَانَ فِي قَصَصِهِمْ عِبْرَةٌ. Indeed, in the narratives of the prophets and those who preceded is a point of reflection. لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. Albab is the plural of the word lubbun, for those of intelligence and wisdom. So Allah spoke about the fact that they took amnesty, and then Allah said Allah revived them. Now Allah resumes the discussion of how they had to face the king, and then the topic of the cave follows thereafter again in a second level with more details to it. So verse number 14, let's just give you a translation and then we endeavor to expound. وَرَبَطْنَا عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ إِذْ قَامُوا وَرَبَطْنَا رَبَطَ يَرْبُطُ. Right? To tie up, to strengthen, to empower. وَرَبَطْنَا وَرَبَطْنَا عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ. Ya Allah, my word. I urge you, my brother, and I urge you, my sister, connect with the Quran. And commence your journey. Commence your journey of the Quran. This is my appeal. And this is my hope. And this is my drive. And this is my pain. And this is my mission. And I hope that this can be my legacy. I hope this can be my legacy, that these words can remain post my death, that if there's something that I can leave behind, would be that hold on to the book of Allah, hold on to the Quran. Was it not Mu'adh radiyallahu anhu in his fatal illness? Those around him started crying and they asked him, Ma yubkikum? He asked them, what makes you cry? And they said, Nabki ala al-ilm alladhi yanqati'u anna 'inda mawtik. We cry because with you goes the knowledge that Allah had given you. And of course, he was exceptionally learned and knowledgeable. And he said that I am going, but the Quran will remain forever and ever. The Quran will remain forever and ever. And then he said that analyze every piece of information through the lenses of the Quran and do not analyze the Quran through the lenses of anyone. So you don't scrutinize the Quran through science. You scrutinize science through the Quran. Let me be very clear on this here. Science is evolving. It's subject to error. It can be accurate and it can be inaccurate. But the word of my Allah is absolutely correct. It's absolutely correct. Today, scientists and dentists tell me that a twig from the tree is healthy for your teeth. And it's exceptionally good for oral hygiene. And I read a report that they tell you that to give a baby at birth something sweet is good, etc. Well, my Habib taught us about tahniq, hannaka yuhanniku tahniq. But hypothetically, if science has to retract and say, you know what, now we have a new discovery and the twig is not good, my position on the miswak will not change. All the more I will use the miswak. Because it was told to me by As-Sadiqul Masduq, by the absolute truthful person, and the words of Allah and His Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Sayyidina Mu'adh radiyallahu anhu said that analyze every piece of information through the text of the Quran, and don't analyze the Quran through the writings or the article or the journalism or the column or the findings or the research of any person. This is wara'ul wara. This is the words of the Almighty. Anyway, in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَرَبَطْنَا عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ. So we strengthened, we empowered, we gave courage to them. Allah gives you, you know, oh my word, I'm just having so many thoughts in my mind. I'm having so many thoughts in my mind. And I credit this to the Almighty and the du'as of my mom. And my parents in particular, my parents in general and my mom in particular, she always makes this dua for me and I've seen it. My son, when you sit down and you speak, Allah will inspire you with things at that moment which you did not plan or prepare for, but it will be the prayer of your mom that will facilitate that inspiration at that time. And I swear to Allah, I have seen this umpteen times. Allah says, I will strengthen you. I will strengthen you. And when Allah strengthens you, leave the world being surprised. You yourself will be surprised. Like, really, I did it? I cannot believe what I've achieved myself. And I know I didn't achieve it through my own doings. I did it through the help of the Almighty. So such will be the help of the Almighty when Allah gives you strength. When Allah gives you strength. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes that strength away, or takes that respect away, or takes that prominence away, or takes that tawfiq away. There was a time I could fast. I'm using in a generic context and not specifically speaking about myself. I would fast the ayyam bidh, right? The 3 days in the month, and the Monday and the Thursday, and fast in Sha'ban, and fast in Ramadan, and the sixth fast. And then I would get up early and Allah gave me that tawfiq. And suddenly I don't have that. And I'm not referring to someone who's aged and weak and sick, because he's excused. And for him is the pension package. I talk about the pension package of Allah. You know what's the pension package of Allah, my brother, my sister? And I hope my elderly folks are listening to me. إِذَا مَرِضَ الْعَبْدُ أَوْ سَافَرَ كُتِبَ لَهُ مِثْلُ مَا كَانَ يَعْمَلُ صَحِيحًا مُقِيمًا. And even for, you know, the travelers, this is consolation and comfort. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and it's an authentic hadith, when you become sick or terminally ill or you're traveling and you're unable to engage in those additional actions which you did at home or when you were hale and healthy, Allah will continue recording for you all the good you did while you were healthy or you were at home. That's it. Not a 3 month or a 1 year or a 2 year. No, no. This is the package from Allah. You did it in your youth. Of course, those aspects that are mandatory will continue. Prayer is mandatory. Salah will have to continue. But other than that, your you know what, surplus, additional, optional actions that so many of our people and our pious people would engage in, but as health tolls upon them, they are unable. This is the concession of Allah. This is the package of Allah. But I'm talking of where tawfiq is deprived and suddenly you're grappling to get up for Fajr and you were the one who would revive the family up from the time of tahajjud and now you're finding difficulty in Fajr. So when Allah gives you strength, it's just amazing. These were youngsters standing in the face of this king, and he was a tyrant. He had muscle and clout. The nation was on his side. They were a handful. They were weak. They were feeble. They were not prominent. And they could stand tall. They could stand tall. We feel honored if our child delivers a speech in a school, in an assembly, or you know what, he's selected amongst peers, or he comes on some local media, or he features in some book, and wow, can you imagine these youth standing, youngsters, and Allah gave them courage. And that's what I'm saying, my brother, take the step, take the leap, and then you see how Allah will make it possible. And again, I share something, and Allah puts it in my mind, and I say this only in credit to the Almighty, and as a motivation to one and all to serve our parents, because that's my passion, and I've spoken about this a lot. Because I have this thought in my mind and it can motivate others as well. And all praise and credit goes exclusively to the Almighty. So I remember on one particular instance, my mom making a prayer and a dua for me. And she's like, my son, may Allah accept you and may Allah bless you. And soon is the day when Allah will enable you to deliver a talk in the haram. And there was this pin drop silence. Mom, did I hear you right? Yes, my son, it's my dua, it's my prayer, it's my hope, it's my wish that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will enable you to deliver a lecture in the haram. I said, Ameen. There was a murmur within me. There was a thought within me, like, really, is this one going to happen? I've seen many prayers materialize. I was heading out to Australia, Queensland in particular, on a lecture tour. And I returned back and it was the month of Ramadan and few friends rang me up and they said that, you know what, we're going to Masjid al-Aqsa if you want to join us. So I said, of course, la tushaddu al-rihal illa ila thalathati masajid. Indeed, I want to go to Aqsa. And last minute preparation took place and subhanallah, I got ready and we left in the month of Ramadan and it was amazing, it was great friends, awesome company. And after a little difficulty at the borders, we crossed over. And we arrived in Masjid al-Aqsa on the 27th night of Ramadan. So news got around that I was there amongst other English-speaking people who were visiting there and performing i'tikaf, both from UK, from US, from South Africa and elsewhere. So they requested me to give a talk to those, the mu'takifin, and I obliged. It was nice, it was great. We went there and the next best thing, somebody told a second person and a second person told the third person, and I was ushered into the chamber of the A'imma of Haram, Masjid al-Haram, Masjid al-Quds. And I was afforded a private setting and an iftar with the imams of Masjid al-Aqsa. And after the iftar, getting ready, and 27 night, the Haram in Masjid al-Aqsa is choking, it's overflowing. The imam says to me, Sheikh, in Arabic, tonight after Khatam at Qiyamul Layl is your talk in Masjid al-Aqsa. And I was stunned and I lost my breath. And I'm like trying to process and digest what this man is taking, what this man is saying. And at the same time, simultaneously, the sentiments of my mom are becoming louder and louder. And I can almost hear my mom's dua being echoed. May Allah enable you to deliver a talk in the haram. And I respectfully declined. And I said to the Sheikh, no. You know what? There were tens of hundreds of thousands that would come for the khatm of the Quran on the 27th night at Masjid al-Aqsa. And Arabic not being, unfortunately, the fluent, you know, I'm unable to speak it with the fluency with which I speak English, of course. And he says, no, this is decided, Sheikh, you've got to give the talk. Anyway, we left from there, and I told my friends, please, I'm going to, you know what, just find myself a nice private place, and I'm going to offer my salah, and I'm just going to camouflage myself. We had a quick bite, and the haram was overflowing, the atmosphere was electrifying, and then was the final completion of the Quran, and then the dua, and then the dua of Aqsa, while you are in Aqsa, and it reverberating, and the echo, and that feeling, and that atmosphere is one of those feelings that live with me till today. And so then the salah completed, and the next best thing, I see the imam walking around looking for me. And I said, there is no way I will able to avoid this dua of my mum taking its final shape. This is a dua of a mum. And before I knew, and again I say this, not to pontify or to trumpet myself or to pay any tribute, this is the grace of Allah exclusively and the prayers of my mum. I found myself standing at the minbar of Masjid al-Aqsa in the sacred haram on the 27th night of Ramadan, and with the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, delivering a talk for 45 minutes to an hour. Walillahi alhamd, walillahi alhamd. The point I'm saying, my brother, and the lessons we can learn is, of course, about the du'as and the prayers of our parents and serving our parents. But if I were to tie it up with the ayat, that is verse number 14, over which I just had this flash now. وَرَبَطْنَا عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ. When Allah gives you strength, then it's just something else. Ja'far radiallahu anhu stood up in front of Ashama, niggas. And he said, Ayyuhal Malik, kunna qawman ahla jahiliya, na'budu al-asnam, naqta'u al-arham, nusi'u al-jiwar, kunna ala thalik, hatta ba'ath Allahu ilayna rasula, na'rifu nasabahu wa sidqahu wa amanata, fa'amanna bihi wa saddaqna. When the polytheists of Mecca came to indoctrinate the king against the companions, then it was Ja'far ibn Abi Talib who stood up and gave the most comprehensive introduction of Islam in the annals of history, addressing the excellency of the king. And he said, Your Majesty, Your Excellency, Ayyuhal Malik, kunna qawman ahla jahiliya. We were an ignorant nation. Na'budul asnam, worshipping idols. Naqta'ul arham, we would sever ties with our kinship and our friends and relatives. Nusi'ul jiwar, we will inflict harm on our neighbors. Hatta ba'ath Allahu ilayna rasula, Allah had mercy upon us. Laqad manna Allahu 'ala al-mu'minin, He sent a prophet amongst us. Na'rifu nasabahu, we know his genealogy and his ancestry. Muhammad bin Abdullah bin Abdul Muttalib bin Hashim bin Abd Manaf bin Qusay bin Kilab bin Murra bin Ka'ab bin Lu'ay bin Ghalib bin Fahr bin Malik bin Kinana bin Khuzaymah bin Mudrika bin Ilyas bin Mudar bin Nazar bin Ma'ad bin Adnan. Na'rifu nasabahu wa sidqahu, his honesty, wa amanatahu, his trustworthiness, wa afafa, and his modesty and his abstinent nature. Amanna bihi wa saddaqna, we accepted iman on him, and upon that our nation has opposed us. He gave that, Allah gave him that courage. وَرَبَطْنَا عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ, take the leap, and Allah will give you the courage to speak. Allah will give you the courage to drop your prayer mat and offer your salah. You don't need to be shy and embarrassed. There's a different feeling. Ask me about it. With the grace of Allah in our travels, Allah has made it possible, be it at airports, be it in tourist attractions, at Eiffel Tower, in the States, wherever. Allah has made it possible for us to drop the prayer mat and bow before Allah. Of course, we are sensitive to those around us. We respect those around us. We do it in a dignified way. We do not offend people. But I am not ashamed. When Allah gives you that strength, then that strength is divine. May Allah give us that strength. May Allah give us that strength. I don't have it. May Allah give it. وَرَبَّطْنَا عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ Allah says, we strengthened. إِذْ قَامُوا When they stood, meaning before the king, as scholars say, فَقَالُوا They said, رَبُّنَا رَبُّ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ Our Lord is the Lord of the heavens and the earth. We don't worship you. We don't worship these objects. We don't worship these idols. رَبُّنَا رَبُّ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ رَبُّنَا Our Lord, Rabb, the creator of the heavens and the earth. لَن نَدْعُوَ مِن دُونِهِ إِلَهًا You proclaiming the truth when you know your neck is on the line. But that's truth. That is the courage. That is iman. لَن نَدْعُوَ مِن دُونِهِ إِلَهًا We will never supplicate anyone besides Allah. لَقَدْ قُلْنَا إِذًا شَطَطًا Dare we say this? And this will be the most blasphemous thing we can utter. A مُفْرِطًا عَنِ الْحَقِّ This is deviant and this is out of the truth and this would be incorrect. So to stand in front of a tyrant dictator and to boldly proclaim the truth and to say it as it is, Allahu Akbar. Abu Hazim was the great scholar and Sulaiman ibn Abdul Malik asked him, Ma a'dalu al-qawl. Listen to this. Again, you know what the prayers of my parents, may Allah bless them. I say this and I encourage. There's so much people tell me, can you teach my child, you know what, oratory? I said, well, it's from the Almighty. I don't have any claim. But in addition to learning the skill and the art and the charisma and the mannerism and the interaction, you need the prayers of the seniors. And that's the best injection you can have to allow your message to reach far and wide is the prayers of our seniors by serving them and earning their du'as. Abdullah ibn Abbas visited his aunt Maymuna radiallahu anha, who was the spouse and the consort of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then he prepared the water for the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that attracted the happiness which stimulated the prophetic prayer, which resulted in Ibn Abbas becoming the most erudite scholar of this ummah. Allahumma allimhu al-kitaba wa al-ta'wil. Allah, teach Ibn Abbas Quran. Teach Ibn Abbas Quran. And then we know who Ibn Abbas became. Ata ibn Abi Rabah, who was the ustad of Abu Hanifa rahimahullah and the disciple of Abdullah ibn Abbas for 20 years. So anyway, Abu Hazim was a great scholar. Sulaiman ibn Abdul Malik asked him, Ma a'dalu al-qawl? Which is the most correct statement? Which is the best, the most accurate, the most just? He said, kalimatu haqqin yaquluha al-mar'u 'inda man yakhafuhu wa 'inda man yarjuhu. La ilaha illallah. To utter the truth in the presence of a person whom you are either afraid of or hopeful of a favor of. So there's somebody here, I'm hoping he gives me employment. I'm hoping he gives me this loan. I'm hoping he secures this for me. Or I'm afraid he can harm me, inflict on me, deny me, expose me, whatever. You are afraid of his evil or you are optimistic of his good. Now at that time, to utter the absolute truth and look beyond the hope of your narrow selfish interests or look beyond the repercussion of the potential threat that the potential threat that faces you. Kalimatu haqqin, to utter the truth, عند من يخافو, in the presence of someone you are afraid of, or عند من يرجو, or someone you are hopeful of. Then Sulaiman ibn Abd al-Malik asked him, okay, man akyasu an-nas? Who's the most intelligent person? He said, rajulun dhafira bi ta'ati Allah azza wa jalla fa'amila biha wa dalla an-nas alayh. The person who obeys Allah and then encourages others to obey Allah. Man ahmaqu an-nas? Who is the greatest fool? Right? Today when you use the word fool, we become very, very offended. Dare you call me a fool. But you know what? Does the word ahmaq comes in the hadith of Sahih Muslim? And so in the Hashia, I checked up myself. What does ahmaq mean? Ahmaq translated as fool, naive person, foolish of you. من يعمل ما يضره مع علمه بقبحه. That's what the linguists tell us. Wow, my word. من يعمل, that person who does something, ما يضره, what harms him, مع علمه بقبحه, despite knowing that this is harmful. So you consciously know, I'm eating something that's harmful, I'm watching something that's destructive, I'm talking to someone that's forbidden, I'm driving in a way that's hazardous, I know what I'm doing is harmful, I'm popping a pill which I know is harmful, I'm doing something and yet I'm doing it. That's the definition of foolish. Which one of us are not fools?
وَلَا تَقْتُلُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ بِكُمْ رَحِيمًا.
وَلَا تَقْتُلُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ, a verse of the 4th chapter, Surah An-Nisa, 5th juz, and do not kill yourself. Some say it's the prohibition of suicide. Others say it refers to don't kill your brother, because killing your brother is killing yourself. And Jalalain says,
وَلَا تَقْتُلُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ بِإِرْتِكَابِ مَا يُؤَدِّي إِلَىٰ هَلَاكِهَا أَيًّا كَانَ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ.
Do not kill yourself by perpetrating anything that's destructive to yourself, be it worldly destructive or spiritual. Wow, what a religion that guides us in everything. So man ahmaqu an-nas, if you really look at it, unfortunately I'm a fool myself, because how many times I do things knowing that they are harmful. What was the answer? He said that rajulun, a person, ba'a akhiratahu bidunya ghayrihi, who forsakes and abandons his abode in akhirah to appease someone in this world, disobeys Allah for somebody else to have benefit. That is the greatest fool. Then he asked him, can I spend more time in your company, the king, the ruler? So Abu Hazim said, no, I'm afraid that, you know what, if we're going to spend more time, instead of me giving you positive energy, I am vulnerable to negative energy from you. I'm vulnerable to negative energy from you. So Sulaiman ibn Abdul Malik tried to, you know what, flash his flamboyance and opulence and wealth. He said, إِرْفَعْ إِلَيْنَا حَاجَتَكَ نَقْضِهِ لَكَ مَهْمَا كَانَتْ. Okay, tell us what you desire. Whatever it is, we'll take care of it. So Abu Hazim said, حَاجَتِي أَن تُنْقِذَنِي مِنَ النَّارِ وَتُدْخِلَنِي الْجَنَّةِ. My request is, grant me deliverance from hell and entry into paradise. So Sulaiman ibn Abdul Malik dropped his head in embarrassment. And he said, ذَلِكَ لَيْسَ مِنْ شَأْنِي. That's outside my control. That's outside my authority and outside my jurisdiction. So Abu Hazim said, مَا لِي مِنْ حَاجَةٍ سِوَاهَا. Then there's nothing common we can discuss, because I don't have any other need. So then Sulaiman ibn Abdul Malik, look at the courage, look at the confidence, look at the bold nature. So then Sulaiman ibn Abdul Malik said, okay, then make dua for me, make dua for me. So Abu Hazim said, Allahumma in kana abduka Sulaiman min awliyaik, fayassirhu ila ma tuhibbu wa tarda, wa in kana min a'daik fa aslihhu. Oh Allah, if this king and this man is from your pious servants, then increase him in goodness. And if he's an evil man and he's sinful, then guide him, O Allah. Guide him, O Allah. So someone who was present said, بِئْسَ مَا قُلْتَ فَقَدْ جَعَلْتَ الْأَمِيرَ عَدُوَ اللَّهِ. How evil of you to say that, oh Abu Hazim, that you said if he's an enemy to Allah and if he's a foe to Allah, he's the leader of the believers. So Abu Hazim said, what I said was not evil, but the manner in which you are saying, that's evil. You are just trying to appease him and compromise your deen. And that's precisely is what we refer to as mudahanat. Mudahanat is where you appease someone at the cost of harming your deen, at the cost of harming your deen. Mudahana. And that is forbidden. And then he said that in the previous times, the rulers were blessed. Why? مَا دَامَ أُمَرَاؤُهُمْ يَأْتُونَ عُلَمَاءَهُمْ رَغْبَةً فِي مَا عِنْدَهُمْ. That the rulers would come and sit by the scholars seeking guidance and knowledge. And that is why we had the best of rulers. Now, unfortunately, it's the other way around, where the scholars are coming to the rulers to draw and milk from them in their wealth and their affluence. So we don't have good rulers nor good scholars. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us that inner courage and that inner strength. So we leave you on that note. That was verse number 14. Standing in front of the king, these youth boldly presented
the oneness of Allah and Tawheed. Obviously, this did not go down well with the king. There's going to be some consequences to their bold proclamation. Let's wait and see. Wa salli Allahumma wa sallim ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.